and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's, I guess, two most outspoken editors talk promo products, because we have two other editors here today.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Although Andy's on the phone. Andy Cohn, are you there on the phone? Hello, Andy.
You bet I am.
What are you doing? You snoozing out in Tuckahoe today?
You snooze, you lose.
Why didn't you come into work today, Andy?
I missed the Tuckahoe to Trevo's bus this morning, I guess.
Oh, well, that's a
T to T.
All right. Well, we do have Joe Haley, everyone's favorite managing editor here. Joe, it's going to be 90 degrees this week. Summer's finally here. What are you doing? You're doing some sports? I know you're looking a little trim.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've been working out, trying to get back in shape.
I hear you have a personal trainer.
I do. Yeah, she kills me. I walk out of there and I whimper like a little girl.
Is she hot?
She makes him
She's very attractive.
10 sit-ups and 5 push-ups every time he goes in.
Shush. I can barely crank that out.
No, you look great.
Thank you.
Kathy Houston, it's summer, which means one thing at the Houston household.
Bikinis.
Beer
and
barbecues.
The pool is open, I hear.
The pool is open.
Yet I have not received my invite.
Well, you'll be invited.
I haven't for the last 5 years.
You know you have an ongoing open invitation.
I've never been invited.
Well, come on down, Andy.
Well, there's a reason for that, Andy.
You have to.
Now, Andy, are you playing hooky in Tuckahoe today? What are you doing?
Yeah, I figured it's a nice day. Let's just stay in Tuckahoe.
Now, I know you've been very active with T-ball lately. Is that right?
Oh, you bet. Yeah. Oh.
And how are you hitting them?
Excuse me?
How are you hitting them?
Oh, I'm hitting them great. Straight to the outfield. It's the little kids, 5-year-old kids that aren't hitting them so well.
Speaking of athletics, guess what I'm doing Thursday night?
Soccer.
Mother versus daughter basketball game.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to die. It's full court basketball.
Oh, forget about it.
11-year-olds, and these girls are good.
I hope you don't drop dead.
I don't even have the right sneakers.
Well, Joe, Kathy doesn't have sneakers at all. Yes,
Joe,
Andy.
Give Melinda a video camera. We need
and
tape.
Mark.
Need
yeah, my husband Mark is the coach for the moms.
I might come and see that.
He's threatening to. He said I might have to be a starter, which is frightening since I haven't exercised in 7 months.
Wow.
Anyway,
you're not playing tennis.
No, I haven't played for a while, unfortunately. Ooh. Steve Hawk is here. He's manning our tech booth. He's got all kinds of sound effects today. Thank you, Steve. And Vinny Driscoll is here to answer your phone calls. We're going to open up the phones right now, 215-953-4979. We'll take all of your calls, but particularly today, Joe, what are we interested in?
We are interested in your cold calling dilemmas. I think it's always going to be one of those things that salespeople absolutely hate to do, but it's a necessity. And so give us a call.
And Kathy is our cold calling queen.
She is.
She'll give lots of advice.
So if you call us,
and wow, if we put you on the air, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. So call us with your cold calling questions now at 215-953-4979. Joe, what else is on tap for today's
show?
Well,
Melinda, we also have a look at some data that reveals the public's perception on sales. Andy's going to bring us that report. And staying sane in a negative work environment. Kathy has that, but I think she's really an expert on staying sane in an insane work environment.
What do you say?
Or just going along with all the kooks.
We're going to look at the best industries for starting new business, and while we're not suggesting people go and start new businesses, it might be an opportunity for distributors for new sales. We also have 5 ways to avoid mediocrity in your organization, and does your resume show your age, Kathy? Is it printed on parchment?
Do you have a resume? I hope not.
It's etched in stone.
Well, maybe we'll eventually get to that topic this week.
Yeah, I know.
But we have a lot of other stuff on our plate here. If we can get to it, stay tuned and be wowed and informed and entertained.
Yeah,
right,
definitely.
But first we need the news, right?
Oh,
we're not
going
to let Andy off the hook.
Andy, where's the news?
All right. Thanks, guys. Staples Promotional Products said its revenue increased, quote, double digits in the first quarter of 2010. The largest distributor in the ad specialty market went on to say that its clients are increasingly loosening up the purse strings. Check out Promogram today for more details. Rivers End Trading Company has announced it will no longer use the Premiumware name in its operations. The top 40 supplier had purchased brands and assets from Premiumware earlier this year. Rivers End will now assume all of the operations of Premiumware's facility in Clarksville, Tennessee. Castelli USA has changed its name to Castelli North America to reflect its expansion into Canada. Its Canadian and U.S. operations will now be run from its new facility in Nevada. Finally, in personnel news, Senator Promotional Group USA has promoted Kim Lahir to Vice President of Marketing and Sales Operations. She will now oversee all of the marketing and sales efforts of the supplier firm. Plus, do make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show in Telegram today. Joe, what are you showing off today?
Hey, Andy, it's always sunny in Philadelphia, but today I have a plethora of umbrellas for those rainy days.
Isn't it the rainy month April?
It is.
All right.
It's always time for rain, though.
It's always time for rain?
Yeah, it's always time. We love rain.
Is that your slogan?
Wow, that's Captain Killjoy for you. Well, thank you, Andy Cohn, for the news. We're going to go right to our callers because the calls are rolling in, aren't they, Vinny?
Absolutely.
Yes, they are. That board is lighting up, but you can still try to reach us, 215-953-4979, to give us your cold calling dilemmas. And on line two, we have Anita. Good morning, Anita.
Hey, you guys. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Do you have a cold calling question?
I sure do. I have been kind of toiling for the last year with a particular client, and I'm just wondering, when do I stop contacting them? When do I realize that, you know, maybe they're not going to want...
All right, so you're basically stalking right now, right?
Well, right now, that's what it feels like.
Kath, what do you do if you hit a cold calling brick wall? Any tricks that you have up your sleeve?
It's not really cold calling right now because it's the same client for a while. So I'd say if there's any possibility that they're going to be having events down the line, I mean, ask them to keep you in mind. And also send them reminders and, you know, make sure on a continual basis you're asking them, do you have any employee loyalty programs coming up? Any safety programs you want to get in place? Maybe they're not even thinking about all the possibilities.
And if you know a little bit about them, you can send them actual ideas. I know that's how a lot of people first get their foot in the door is, you know, if you know they're having an incentive program coming up or you know that they do a certain marketing campaign every year, say, hey, look, here's this new product. I think it would be great for your X campaign. I thought of you today. Rather than just saying, hey, what's going on? If you actually come to them with something, that might, you know, warm up the...
Yeah, and I would say use your creativity. You know, think of creative ways to get in the door. There is a well-known female distributor in the industry, but her name escapes me right now. She went to a client over and over again, and finally the president of the company, a male, said, why don't you go home and, you know, stay in the kitchen where you belong. She came back like a week later. She came back with a tray of home-baked cookies and wearing an apron and to deliver to this guy, and he just thought that was the funniest thing.
That
they struck
great.
Up a conversation and a relationship, and then they had a long-term business relationship. So it was a creative thinking of how to turn something negative into something positive.
So the answer is basically don't stop.
Well, unless you think that they're not a legitimate prospect.
Okay.
Right. You know, if you think that they're never, you know, going to have a need for your services, obviously, then cut them loose. But if you think they're legitimate, you know, you might try some creative strategies before you get
sure.
So I guess until I hear from their lawyer.
There you go.
Right.
Right.
Well, good luck, Anita. Thanks so much for calling. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
All right. On line four, we have another person with a cold calling question. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Liz?
Good. To be honest with you, I hate the phone. And
you hate the phone?
I hate the phone.
But you're doing good.
What's the phone ever do to you?
I have a terrible fear of getting on the line and talking to strangers. My stomach was in a knot just waiting to talk to you guys.
Oh, really? No.
My business so far has been built on, you know, I started out small, built it on word of mouth. Now I want to expand, but I don't know how to get past this fear of cold calling, and I really want to sound like a pro, so I was wondering if you guys had any pointers?
Well, first of all, I would say you have to get over the rejection fear because you've got nothing to lose when you're calling somebody. You're offering them solutions, hopefully, for their business dilemmas. Or like Melinda mentioned before, if you're online and you see that a company is merging with another company or holding a big fundraiser or whatever, you have solutions to provide for them. So just get over your fear of rejection.
You're valuable, Liz.
Exactly. You're valuable. Your time is just as valuable as theirs. You've got nothing to lose. You didn't have an order from them to begin with. So, you know, what's the downside?
But, you know, Liz, you also mentioned, and I mean, cold calling, everybody's got to do it. So Kathy's absolutely right. But you mentioned that you built your business on word of mouth. So if that's something that you're good at, then why not start a referral program as well? I mean, do you have anything formal in place to encourage customers to refer you to other
not
people?
Not really. I've really never even thought about that. You know, I'm really trying to focus on getting up the courage to start cold calling. You know, I'm actually better at doing things in person. So is there an option, you know, maybe to cold call in person? Is that better than getting on the phone?
Well, it's two things. A lot of people like the anonymity of the telephone because you can't see the face-to-face, but other people prefer the face-to-face interaction. If you're going to go on the phone, I would just say, you know, to quote Nike, just do it. Get on the phone, make the calls, have a little script prepared. And I think that once you start to ease into it, if you do it the same time every day, say from 10:30 to 11:30, you're going to set aside to make those calls. You have a little script. It becomes easier and easier each week. You might start to see some results. You might not. But this business, everyone says, it's a very personal, it's a very face-to-face mm-hmm. business. So it can't hurt. If you're visiting a client and you see an office park, you might want to start doing some canvas in there. You just pop in and find out, you know, the contact people, whether you call them or stop back the next week. That's up to you.
Well, also, there's a way that you can warm up the calls a little before you even call them, right, Kath? I mean, you've talked about an advantage is maybe, you know, finding 50 people that you really want to target and sending them a small item beforehand.
Right. Send them a small item.
So then
beforehand.
You can call and at least you can say, oh, did you get the blah, blah, blah.
Or even if you invite them out for like morning coffee, can I have like a half hour of your time? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Offer to pay for their coffee and bagel, whatever it is.
Yeah, if you're good in person, that would be a good strategy.
And oh, I like that.
Speaking of the personal touch, I would always carry your business cards with you and mm-hmm. ask everybody in every area of your life to refer you to other people.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we hope it gave you some ideas.
You really made me feel really, really good.
You did a great job on the phone, too.
Yes. Probably can cancel my appointment with my therapist.
Well, thanks so much for calling and stay on the line for your gift card.
All right, thank you.
And Andy, are you still there?
Oh, you bet.
We'll let you chime in. We'll let you chime in.
Eventually.
Yeah.
You guys are talking so much, I can't get a word.
I know, I'm sorry. All right, line two, Philip is calling in. He's got a comment on cold calling. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Philip?
Wonderful. Thank you. I was going to let you know, I used to make 50 to 75 cold calls a day, and those three most feared words were, I'm not interested, used to pop up a lot. And one of the things that I started saying, which truly turned that call completely around, was the minute they said to me, I'm not interested, I would say, of course you're not interested. If you were interested, you would have called me. It's my job to create some interest. Fair enough. And immediately they would turn around and have a conversation.
That's great.
That's not kind of disarming, you know. It's unexpected. I think that's a great idea.
Has the cold calling been successful for you, Philip?
Very much so. There were two things that I did. One was that whenever the I'm not interested showed up, but the other thing that I did was I did a lot of research on what I couldn't understand was I was making 50 to 75 cold calls a day. I wasn't changing anything I was saying or the way in which I was saying it. And I couldn't understand why some people were nice and other people used to hang up on me. And then I started doing some research on personalities and determined the reason why people were hanging up were not everybody's personality is the same. So you actually have to change the way in which you talk to them. And that all goes back to, well, how do I identify their personality within the first 30 seconds of speaking to them on the phone? And once I was able to nail that, it was a piece of cake.
That's a really good tip, Philip, it is, right?
Kathy's nodding her head.
Yeah, that's a great tip. Because some people get caught in that they have a cold calling script and they practice it and they use the same thing on every customer. And you are right. You have to identify their personality type within like the first 30 seconds and adjust your script accordingly.
Absolutely. And that's what I've done. And to your huge success as well. So just thought I'd share it.
Well, thank you sharing, Philip. And stay on the line for your Visa gift card. We appreciate your call.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.
All right. And we have Pamela on line five. Good morning, Pamela.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You have a cold calling question this morning?
I do. I haven't gone door-to-door cold calling in years. I dread it. And it seems like business is picking up. And is it really worth me now, you know, popping in on these businesses? And, you know, what kind of advice would you have to, you know, make it worth the effort of getting out of my...
Well, all these callers who haven't needed to cold call for years, they must all, you know, have pretty solid
businesses.
Must be
pretty awesome.
Kathy, you have some ideas for Pamela?
Yes, I do. Actually, we are having an Advantages June issue, an article.
We are, a June issue.
Yeah.
What a novel concept.
No, in the Advantages June issue, there's an article called Blueprint for Sales Success. And Lillian D'Angelo, she's the owner of Proforma Custom Business Services. She gave a great tip. She calls it business neighbor prospecting. She sends a box to the companies that are right in her corporate park, plus those in other complexes around town, with materials that introduce her services. And she also includes a printout from MapQuest that shows exactly where her firm is located in relation to the business prospects. And she ends with, "We should get to know each other better." And she says when they actually see that you're right around the corner, just 5 minutes away, it creates an instant connection.
And also trust, I think. You know, the person's right. Not just going to run away.
Yeah, right. You know where to find them.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great tip.
Andy Cohn, you have any advice for our phone friend?
Yeah, you know, we talked last week about how to do a market analysis, and this kind of falls into that a little bit. You know, so you're not wasting your time. You talked about how to do this kind of door-to-door canvassing profitably. You want to beforehand identify some of the local companies and businesses in your area that are marketing and advertising. You know, so look through the local papers and the Penny Savers and those types of things that you can find the local businesses that are really actually marketing their services right now and spending money on promoting themselves. And then you can, you know, it's a little bit more of a warm call when you're walking into their business.
Yeah. I think that canvassing is a good idea, you know, because there might be a lot of smaller businesses that would spend money on marketing, but if no one ever contacts them, no one ever visits them, they're not going to spend that money with anyone. I actually did an interview on an end buyer who was a small mom-and-pop video rental store, and they had one person would come in once a year, and all he did was sell them pencils. Never gave them creative ideas, never did anything else. He would pop in and say, "Do you need more pencils?" And he would buy more pencils when he needed them. Mm-hmm. That was it. But if someone came in and gave him some creative ideas about maybe a frequent rental program, you know, for refrigerator magnets so that when the hot releases come out, you have the number right there, you can call and reserve it for the night. I said, that would be better. When I gave him those ideas, talking with him, he was like, "No one has ever mentioned that. Guy just comes up, sells some pencils."
I think you should be a distributor, Joe.
Well, yeah, some people don't know the range of services a distributor can provide.
Sure. That's true.
So when you think of a small strip mall, you might think there might be 15 small businesses there. But if they're all spending, you know, $1,000, $1,500 a year with you, that adds up. Mm-hmm. So
plus,
I mean,
you don't know how much money they have to spend on marketing.
Sure.
Right.
Sometimes looks can be deceiving.
Well,
right.
Of course, yeah, there's something called co-op advertising and stuff, and whoever they're working with, national brands, will give them money, and all they need to do is whatever they give promotionally, say it's a cap, it would have to have that national brand on it as well as whatever the, you know, store, the retail that's selling that product. So, you know, it's almost like it's going to be free advertising.
They may be able to co-op advertise with other businesses right in the same strip mall or right in the same shopping mall or whatever.
And I still think people like to do business with people. So when you just pop in and they see a friendly face, it could work out to your advantage.
Right.
Well, good luck, Pamela. Hopefully we've given you some good ideas.
They're fantastic ideas. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And on line 4, we have Denise. Good morning, Denise.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I have a question regarding quantity versus quality. I made close to 500 cold calls in February.
Wow.
And maybe got 3 people to give me a call back. And is it, you know, the quantity of calls you make? You know, people say it's all in the numbers, you know, a certain percentage is going to call you back. But I don't consider 3 people calling me back out of 500 calls a good return. And further to that, you have your script, but people are going to answer the phone different ways. They're going to ask different questions, and you don't always have an answer for that right away. And I've tried to rearrange my script, my words, every which way but loose. And nothing really generates the interest. Nothing generates the buzz. So I'm wondering, do I make 500 cold calls or do I make 40 quality cold calls?
I would go with the quality, but I would also do a little bit of the pre-call research. Find out, you know, in the area, the bigger company, someone who's the business is getting better for them, and maybe you send an email introduction with a note in there that you'll follow up on a Wednesday or a Thursday with a call just to introduce yourself over the phone. So then your cold call becomes a little warmer, and then maybe it'll help you, you know, get a better response rate.
Andy, any ideas for Denise?
Well, you know, I was actually going to ask what was on the script, just briefly, Denise, you know, what kind of approach are you taking
in that call? Oh, gosh, I've used everything from just last week I made a cold call, and one of the people, my prospect, was into trivia, and he had a trivia question. So I answered the trivia question, and I left my own trivia question. He subsequently called me back 3 times, only because we were missing each other, but he's not the right person to buy promotional items. I mean, I've used things like we can maximize your budget and residual value, we can take your project to the next level, we have the right products to fit your... I mean, I've run the gamut. I've tried to be funny. I've tried to be serious. I've tried to say, hi, this is Denise at blah, 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 and then just left it at that, because some people... they say they stop listening after so many seconds. So I've mixed it up, and I don't think I'm getting the return for what I'm doing. And I don't mind talking on the phone. I know the other person can't see me. It's something that I must do. And some people say I don't even leave a message if they don't answer, if they don't answer, because they're not going to call you back anyway. Well, you have to leave a message. So it's a quandary, one that we go round and round with all the time. How are we better? How can we better serve our time? And what can we put out there when we're making our cold calls? It's a dilemma.
Sure. I think that the whoever said the idea of not leaving a message, there is something to that. Mm-hmm. People who get a cold call voicemail usually tend to ignore those. Mm-hmm. So the more you can try to get a live person, the better off you'll certainly be with the percentages of return calls.
Well, may I ask you another question? How about making the initial call, then following it up with something in the mail, and then making another initial call? What do you think of that strategy? Another call?
That's great.
I think it's a good idea. One, you're putting your money where your mouth is, because you're saying, this is what I do, this is what I can do for you. I mean, you can send them a self-promotional piece. Mm-hmm. And if it's very creative, they might, one, like that and want to do it for their own company, or two, at least they're going to see the creativity that you can bring to their marketing program and their marketing campaigns. And, hopefully that sparks a little interest so that when you call them back, they are willing to speak with you.
And what is that trivia company right now doing for their marketing and advertising?
Oh, we're doing, while I'm doing the cold calling, we have a great graphics person. She is really revving up our trifolds, our mailers that we send out every month. She's extremely creative when it comes to pitching product and things like that. So we're really revving up the graphic side of it,
mm-hmm.
Sending trifold mailers out with everything. I think we're pretty proactive
right.
in trying to get new business. It's just the immediate remuneration that you're looking for. You're going to be disappointed if you make 40 cold calls and your boss sees that, you haven't gotten one response. That can be quite daunting and disappointing, but I think it's the nature of the beast.
But what I'm asking is, the trivia company that you said wasn't a good fit, what are they doing for their own marketing? Like, what could you help them with?
Well, he called me back. I spoke to him last evening, and he gave me 2 names of some people to call. And they're a community-based service for disadvantaged mm-hmm. community members. And so I am going to look on the website again, see what projects they have coming up, and then certainly call the 2 contacts that he gave me. But he was very nice, and he thought it was kind of neat that we were going back and forth with the trivia thing. But you're not going to always have that with your – it's very rare, that someone will even call you back anyway.
Right.
So that's going to be my next plan of attack. Look on their website, see what kind of events they have coming up. I know that area of Baltimore like the back of my hand, so I can do something there. But, that's what I'm doing.
All right. Well, good luck, Denise.
Thank you.
Stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And we have another caller on line 5, I think, who may have some advice for you. On line 5, we have Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello. How are you?
Good. You have a response to a previous caller?
Oh, absolutely. The lady who made 500 cold calls, I have to take my hat off to her for that, because that takes a lot of work and dedication. But my suggestion for her, I would get file folders and put each month on 12 file folders. And then ask them, when you make your pitch and everything, because timing is everything in sales, no need, no sell. But, you know, they may have a need in the future for something. So ask when would be a good time to come back. And they say, well, check back with us in the fall because that's when we usually do our promotion. So put that follow-up call, their name, address, and everything, into maybe the August file folder. And once you continue doing this, you've got all your months and all the different leads coming up. And I'll guarantee you when you go back the second time and you're there when they're getting ready to order, you'll be part of the ones they consider.
I like that. It's a great idea. The other thing with making the 500 calls and being discouraged, she's got to realize that we just came off a pretty bad economy, and things are starting to, you know, uptick now. So maybe she'll start to see a better return.
That's
on
a
all
bad
those
ratio,
calls.
Though. Because, I mean, we...
Even in a bad economy?
I think so. Okay. I mean, we... Danny Friedman, one of our speakers at our ASI shows, always... He has a gauge that if you make 100 cold calls, it should result in 4 to 5 appointments and 1 to 2 sales. And so... You know, multiply that by 500. That's, you know, there's something that needs to be tweaked there, I think.
Well, I think Bob gave her great advice.
Yeah, great advice. Mm-hmm. Bob, thanks for calling in, and please stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
All right, thank you.
We're going to pause just for a moment for a message from today's sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, Kathy's going to tell us if her resume shows her age.
Oh, that's what I'm telling you?
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities at iPromoteU.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we've had a record number of callers this morning on a topic that is obviously hot, which is cold calling. So thanks to everyone who called in, and be sure to check us out next week. Kathy, this is pretty ironic, I think. I just told you to get ready to talk about whether your resume shows your age, and you put on glasses to
I need reading glasses. What do you want from me?
So how do you know if your resume shows your age?
Well, first of all, Melinda, does it lead with an objective? Like what you're looking for in a
Should
job?
It?
No.
I always hated that.
No. Replace your objective with a summary outlining your big picture accomplishments and the value you can bring to them.
All right.
Okay. Now this is obvious. Your contact information includes your fax number. Now really? Really?
You should put, you could put like a Twitter account and a Facebook.
You could, yeah, I mean, definitely. That, I mean, that's more 2010.
Exactly.
That, yeah. No fax numbers, please. The font on your resume.
Joe, get your fax number off your resume.
I don't have a fax machine.
Joe, is the font on your resume Courier 10?
It is not.
How about Times New Roman?
Well, Times New Roman is a little different, but Courier 10 was all there was when all documents were created on typewriters.
Ooh.
So, you know, there's lots of fonts to choose from these days. Be a little more creative.
How about putting the year you graduated, you know, high school or college, if it's a long time ago? Should you take that off?
I think you should take it off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. I mean, you're showing all your accomplishments
right,
since
and
then,
people
so
can do
you
the
don't
math.
Need that.
People can do the math.
And also, you might find this surprising. Your resume states that references are available upon request. Don't do that. Because employers these days check out your Facebook, check out your LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah. They know where to find your references. Exactly.
Request.
Yeah. So that's pretty much it.
All right. So if you don't want to sit on like an old fogey, don't put your fax number. What else?
No Courier 10.
No Courier 10.
No objective.
No objective.
Have no goals.
No big hanging reading glasses.
That's right.
Don't send a picture of yourself
with your reading glasses.
Joe has trifocals, right, Joe?
No. I tried them. Remember that? I couldn't.
Oh, and you got nauseous.
They were making them dizzy.
Yeah, they were making me like nauseous because when you move around, everything gets real wavy.
Speaking of wave, what a great segue. Andy's going to talk about the next new wave in digital marketing. Andy.
Wow, the waves. The waves are hitting us, huh?
What's up?
There's a few things that that people can look out for as improvements, let's say, on digital marketing. One is the improvement of online display advertising. You know, you see banner ads and different block ads and different sizes, but the tracking is what's getting more sophisticated. So if you're putting an ad on a local site or anything like that, there's really a lot of better local targeting right now that that publishers are doing. So that's one thing. And then this is really cool. There's a movement towards instead of cost per click measurements, you know, so when you run an ad, you know, you get charged for how many click-throughs you get. There's actually a measurement now called cost per action. So if you want to just be run an ad and be charged on the amount of people that click your ad and then come to your website and buy something, companies that you advertise with could actually do that and do this sort of cost per action type tracking, and they have many different actions that you can be charged on. So, you know, you're sort of motivating, you know, you're getting more out of your ads than you may have previously with just cost per click measurements. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to thank you.
You were going to thank me?
Thank you. Now goodbye.
Thank you. That was a wonderful.
There are actually a few more of these, but we'll put them all on our website.
All right. Great. Check out asicentral.com/radio for more on digital marketing. Joe, put on your glasses because you're going to have the last segment today, which is how to avoid ruining your workplace reputation. How do you do that?
Well, you're stupid, number one. I mean, it's a lot of it's common sense stuff, but I think it's geared more to younger people who are finding themselves in the work environment for the first time. But older people like Kathy can fall into this trap as well.
And you, Joe.
Not as old as you, Kathy. So one of the things I say, be careful with communication, especially email. We all talk about that when you're angry and you key out an angry email, you should let it sit. Go back and read it half hour later, whatever, to make sure that there's nothing in there that's too bad. Also, be careful with controversial issues and with humor. Sometimes, you know, the humor doesn't come across and the person who's receiving it might be offended rather than finding it funny. And with the controversy, things can be taken the wrong way in the email communication. So just be careful with that, Kathy. Also, in the public eye, younger workers who are ambitious and want to be seen as contributors can have quick responses that are not helpful. So if you're sitting around this big meeting and you want to contribute, think about what you're about to say. You know, just talking doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, a rising superstar, you know.
That's true.
Doesn't actually contribute.
Hate it when someone just opens their mouth at every meeting and, you know,
offers nothing but, you know, an opining.
Or reiterates what the person just says.
Yeah, or they just repeat the same thing that someone
says.
Right,
like you just did.
Aha, for the effect. One more thing, the relationships. You have to be careful. Newer employees have to realize that while the boss might be someone who can help them, you know, get promotions, the coworkers that they work with together on projects and within the department are equally as important as the boss is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If someone's going to come in and cozy up to that boss right away, it might have a negative effect with the people that they have to work with. So you got to find that right balance there.
What about asking out people around the company? Is that
a good idea? That's a yes.
I think that a lot of companies nowadays have policies that spell that out. And I think that if you ask someone out, they say no.
I don't understand how you could do that, though. How can you, like, say, oh, you can't date somebody that you work with?
No, that's usually okay in companies. It's really the subordinate boss relationship that's a no-no. So, Kath, keep that in mind.
If you ask someone
out, I won't ask Jen out.
If you ask someone out, Kathy, they say no. No is no.
No means no, Joe.
Stop harassing that person. They don't want to go out with you.
Fantastic. Well, we are out of time today. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. Thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You, and be sure to tune in same time next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
10:30 a.m. Eastern Time.
Same bat channel.
Have a great week.